All right, we're in Matthew chapter 28, in the last chapter, and last Thursday we talked at verse number 15. Number 15 we call it. So let's begin with Matthew 28, 15, 16, and 17, just those three verses to get a background there. And verse number 15, questions of BFBBC, we can't use it. Anna, you don't have that, do you?
Yes.
Oh, you do have it. Oh, my.
Okay, so it's going to take you a couple minutes to pull it up.
Take a couple minutes to pull it up. So you can use the questions at BFBBC.org. You can say that, or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email to say hello. We'd like to hear from you. All right, Matthew 28. Let's begin verse 16 and 17. Start with verse 15 together. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And as this saying was commanded, reported among the Jews on this day, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 5 verse 15, when they took the money, who did they refer back to? Who took that money?
I don't know. Who was the last one? The guards or something?
Soldiers that were guarding the tomb.
True?
Yeah, that's correct. Who gave them this money?
The head people to guide the what?
Those people that would be the Jews, the leaders, the elders, and the Pharisees and so on. Why did they give these soldiers this money? It was a great money, too. Why did they give that great money?
They wanted to make sure that they would watch the tomb so that no one would steal the body of Jesus.
Well, but they'd already, the body is gone.
I don't know.
The body is gone. What did the rulers want the guards to say what happened to the body?
While we were asleep, sleeping on our job, we saw the disciples steal the body while we were sleeping.
So it was a strange answer, wasn't it? It's a very strange answer. That's what they said. And so, in order to make sure that that's what they say, they gave them great money. What does that mean?
Where does it say that?
Verse number, you didn't read that time, but it's verse number 24, is it? 23?
I don't think so. We're only on 15 now.
Verse 12. Large money. Not great money, but large money. What does that mean in verse 12? What does large money mean?
It means a lot of money.
Lots of money. In order to lie, to say that the disciples, while they were sleeping, as Anna said, they came and stole the body of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They must have been having dreams, special dreams, to see that. So then they took the money, and in verse 15, did the guards, these soldiers, obey?
Yes.
Or not? Yes, they did as they were taught. And then the saying is commonly reported. What saying is that? What saying is commonly reported among the Jews even today?
That while the guards were sleeping, the disciples stole Jesus' body.
That's right. So that's the saying, this lie, until this day. And then in verse 16, then the 11 disciples, why were there only 11? Why did Joseph 12?
One of them killed himself.
One of them killed himself. What was his name?
Judas.
Why did he kill himself, do you think?
He betrayed Jesus.
Betrayed Jesus? Brought his conscience? He felt bad, his conscience. What did he do with the money that they gave him?
He threw it back.
Threw it back. But that didn't seem to solve the problem. They didn't take it. And they used that money to build a field of blood. Al-Kaldim, as it says in Hebrew.
To bury it in it.
To bury it. And they probably buried it in that very field. That's right. So 11 disciples, where did they go in verse 16?
Galilee.
Why did they go there?
Because Christ told
them. The Lord Jesus told, way up in the north. See, Galilee's up in the north. See this? There's the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem's out there. The Sea of Galilee's up in there. We don't have the big map, but the little map. So it's in the north part. How many miles north of Jerusalem is it roughly? 50 or 60 miles north. And so they went there because the Lord Jesus said, you go to Galilee, I'll meet you there. Now let me ask you this. If someone told you to go somewhere 50 or 60 miles away walking, would you be likely to do that?
Well, this wasn't just anybody.
It wasn't just anybody. Okay, Bob?
It depends who the person was.
It depends who the person was. It depends on what was going to happen when you got there. What did the Lord Jesus promise them if they did go up there?
He He was going to meet them.
He's going to meet them. They see him resurrected, bodily resurrected from the grave. Tremendous miracle indeed. And so, under a mountain, why do you suppose the Lord Jesus wanted to meet them on a mountain?
He liked it up there.
Well, did he go
on? He often prayed in the mountains, and he often taught his disciples in the mountains, and there's a whole pattern of
the pattern.
Mountains.
He liked the mountains.
He liked it
up, up high, and that was a part of his ministry. So went to the mountain.
He had just been resurrected. It was like a mountaintop experience.
Yes, that's very good. Mountaintop experience. Mm-hmm. Why else in verse 16 did they go to the mountain? What does it say there specifically?
Jesus appointed them
to go to that mountain. They knew exactly the mountain. Had questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or whatever question. Say hello. Glad to hear from you. Now, in verse number 17, when they saw him, who's the they refer to?
11.
The 11 disciples saw him. Who's the him?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. What'd they do with
him?
What'd
they do? They worshiped him.
What does it mean to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? He was bodily raised, looked like a man, perfect God, perfect man. Is it right to worship the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, is it right to worship men?
No.
What if he's the Pope?
No.
No, absolutely not. He's still a man. No preachers, no rabbis, no popes, no priests. But the Lord Jesus, they worshiped him. But then the next phrase is very serious. But some doubted. Who were the some? That's the thing. Was it Peter? Was it James? Was it John?
Thomas,
was it Thomas, maybe? See who was?
Someone else?
Well, these were the only ones who were there, as far as we know. The 11 came there to the special mountain the Lord Jesus appointed them. Isn't that sad that there's doubt? What did they doubt about, do you think?
They were probably confused about what was going on.
All right, that's possible. What else? Why do you suppose they doubt? What doubted what?
I don't know. How could
did they see him? Did they see the resurrected Savior?
Yes.
Yes, they saw him. And he met him, just like the women at the tomb. They saw him. And who art thou? Thou art Jesus. But they doubt. What do you suppose they doubt? How can you doubt what you see? Because sometimes you do doubt what you see. Seeing is believing, though, isn't it? What did the Lord say to Thomas when on the second evening service after his resurrection, Thomas appeared? He wasn't there the first Sunday night. Second Sunday night, what did the Lord Jesus say?
Put his hand or his fingers.
Well, that's what he wanted to do. But he reached over the hand and put the fingers in it. And did Thomas do that?
Yes.
What did Thomas say to the Lord Jesus Christ?
My Lord and my God. He saw the hands.
He saw the bloody hands, at least the imprint of the hands. And what did the Lord Jesus say to Thomas after he said, my Lord and my God?
Wasn't it before? Oh, no, wait. Oh, thou hast seen. No. Thou hast.
Because thou hast
seen. Thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have
believed,
not believed. Not seen.
Yes, right. That's good. So, you have believed. Because you saw me.
Is that here?
No, that's in John, chapter, Gospel of John. But the Lord Jesus said, more blessed are they that believe without seeing. And here these 11 disciples saw, they still didn't believe. Thomas, I hope you got straightened out and believed, but some of them, they doubted. Do some Christians doubt about some things?
Yes.
Yes, even born-again Christians?
Yes.
Should they doubt about the things of the Bible?
No, they shouldn't.
They should not. I heard from a man today, called me on the telephone. He's going to a school, I think it's in Florida somewhere, it's Trinity College of some sort, and he said the pastors, many of the teachers up there, are talking against Texas Receptus, against the King James Bible, a critical text. I said, well, hold your line and stand fast for the principles of the Lord. And so they haven't seen.
Oh, it used to be a King James school.
Yes, sir, that's the same one. There's all exactly which Trinity it is. Maybe it's the Trinity one that that man used to be in charge of. What was his name again?
Jack.
Bob Gray, that's right. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, some Don Lester. Yeah, there's a Don Lester, and so the whole church is Don Lester by some people. Let's read verse number 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's verse 18. Some doubted, then in verse 18, what did Jesus do when they doubted? Did he know they were doubting?
Yes.
How did he know? What's his...
He's God.
He's God, and what's the attribute? Omniscience, he knew. And he came and spake unto them. What did he say to them, these 11?
All power is given unto me. All power.
All right, yes. What does that mean? All power. Now, there's two different types of power. There's dunamis, there's exousia. But probably this is the right, the entitlement, and all these different things that he has.
This is exousia?
Probably exousia, all power. But it also means other things as well. He had the power, he had the authority to do everything. Who gave the Lord Jesus the authority?
He had it.
All authority. Yes?
The Father.
Especially the Father gave him to give all this, all power. Now it says in what places is his power and authority reigning? What places does he have all power?
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. Now, when will he exercise that power in heaven?
When he gets up there, yes.
He's okay. He was about to walk there. He's about to ascend, bodily ascend up to heaven.
He had it when he was there before.
Yes, when he was there with the Father. How long was the Lord Jesus with the Father?
Always.
From all eternity past. And no beginning. And no ending. All eternity future. So he had the power in heaven. When is his all power going to take place on this earth?
When he returns.
When he returns. Remember the rapture of the church? Saved people going up before the tribulation. 7-year tribulation. And the Lord Jesus comes back. Power and great glory. And puts down that whole battle of Armageddon. His feet touch the Mount of Olives. It'll cleave in two. And he'll set up his kingdom. How long will that kingdom reign on this earth?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. And so, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will help him with the rule?
We will.
That's right. Who are the we?
All saved.
Saved, born again Christian. What kind of bodies will they have?
We'll have a resurrected body.
A resurrected body like unto his. And we'll have different things. Yes, Bob?
Well, when is King David going to sit on his throne?
Our King David is going to reign with Christ, probably co-regent with the Lord during the millennium.
During the millennium.
During the millennium,
the reign of
Christ.
King David.
Yes, King David will reign with Christ.
I wonder if he knows that he's going to be surprised.
He's going to be raised again, and he will...
Nice to meet him, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be nice to meet to King David and the others that will be there. So, heaven and earth, all power. Now, is the power in some denominations held by whom? Who are some of the people who have power in certain churches that say there's power?
Well, the Pope.
The Pope is one thing, absolutely. Yeah. The Pope is all powerful. And some denominations, the bishops or whatever it is, they're the power.
The Presbytery, the session,
and some of these other things are power. But Lord Jesus must be first in authority over all. All power, all authority, given unto heaven and earth. Then, because of that, in verse number 19, what does he say that these 11 should do?
Go you therefore.
What is the therefore? What does that go back to?
I don't know. Just go.
Well, but why therefore? He just said something in the verse before, and he said, therefore,
all power is given unto you.
All right, because all power is given unto you, all authority, you go therefore, because I have that authority, I command you to go, and when you go, what are you to do?
Baptizing them in the name of the Father.
But before you baptize them, what are you going to do?
Teach.
Teach all nations. Now, what does it mean to teach? Yeah.
We have an email here.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Wade, Hello to everyone, and thank you for tonight's Bible study. From Joe and Norma Foster.
That's way to Joe and Norma Foster. Thank you, Joe and Norma. Appreciate that very much. So, teach. What does it mean to teach?
Instruct.
Instruct, all right. That must have a subject matter in order to
structure.
Scripture should be taught, that's right? Expound. And the scriptures of the Bible should be taught. Teach all nations. Is that limiting the nations that we're to teach as they go to?
All nations.
All nations. What are some of the ways that we can go to all nations today?
Half of one person.
Yes. What are some of the means that God has given?
Internet.
Internet is certainly a means of going to all nations. But how many nations download at least one message a month of our services?
These are like between 60 and 70.
Between 60 and 70. That's every single month. We go into all these nations. I can't explain it. And there's other ways, sometimes television, but internet is certainly powerful. And missionaries go, of course. And sometimes you have films and in order to go into those with films. But all nations, not stopping at any of them. Yes, Anna?
And then, like, it's even like when Bibles or tracts or something are printed and they get left around and people might pick them up and see them.
Uh-huh.
And then be taught.
That's right, be taught by these tracts and different literature, Bibles. That's why the Prisoner's Bible Fund, we're certainly appreciated of those who are defiant DJ Bible and going to these prisons at their request. And the people that love the Word of God, that's helped us, that sent us funds, and we praise God for it, so we can give to these prisoners who request it, free and postage paid, a defined King James Bible, so they can study, and they can be in their Bible studies, I hope they can teach. Now, then Bill said the next thing after teaching is what? In verse 19. Go, first you have got to go.
Baptizing them, the nations, baptize the nations.
Teach all nations, and those, and that word teach is manthano, it's a disciples, what the other mathe tastes, to be teach in the sense of disciple them, see, teach them so that they become Christians and born again. And then, after they're saved, what does baptizing mean?
Well, has a lot of meanings.
What do some teach? What do others teach? What are all the different means that people have?
Some teach that baptism is a means of salvation, which is wrong.
Well, that's what some of these means. What churches teach that?
Well, the Catholic Church.
Catholic Church does.
The Church
Lutheran
of Christ.
Church does. Church of Christ does.
Yeah.
And the Episcopal Church. We had a lady recently not too long ago that believes that once you're baptized as a baby, you're saved. That's it. Now, what are some of the means of baptism in different places?
Some do sprinkling.
Some do sprinkling.
Immersion in water.
Immersion in water.
Pouring.
Some pouring. Some pouring. And of course, the babies, what do they do with the babies?
Sprinkle.
They just sort of dots, I guess. Big people, they sort of, I guess that'd be sprinkling a little bit of water. But what do we believe the word baptizo means in baptism?
To dip,
to immerse. And therefore we as Baptists, but as Bible believers, not simply because we're Baptists, Bible believing Christians, we immerse those that are genuinely saved and born again.
Tell about the early Baptists and then the persecution they went through because of baptizing.
The early Baptists, Mr. Joy Wallenhofer gave us a book on the history of Baptists. And Mr. Wade reads to us every single morning on a certain date, because it gives a date when certain people were born or whatever, they did certain things. And these Baptists, not even only in England, but even in this country, came over. Because they're Baptists and believe in immersion, persecuted, put in jail, sometimes burned to the stake, sometimes killed in different means. They really paid the price, these Baptists, but we believe that immersion is the best way. You die with Christ, you're buried with Christ, you're raised with Christ to walk a new life. Now, as Bill said, some people teach that baptism saves. What are some of the teachers, the people that believe that?
Can we stand already?
Well, some, one of the churches that believe that immersion saves.
Well, No, I didn't know they believed immersion saved.
Well, no, I'm saying, what are some of the churches that believe that to be immersed, you got to be immersed, and when you come out of the water, you're saved?
The Church of Christ?
The Disciple of Christ? Something like that. That's right. I thought you had something right there.
Well, yeah, I was going to talk about.
Okay, good.
Peter Baptist.
Get this first. That's too good. Yes, hi. Take care of. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm watching a Bible study, and I just want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, something or other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Amen. Thank you, Nick. That's Wade. Take care right here in New Jersey. Our pianist. Appreciate that very much, Nick. All right, so not to baptize, but to preach. That's right.
But Jesus sent his disciples to baptize.
Yes, he did. That's right. So Paul was not. See, some of the people, I fear that some of the Baptists in the books that we're reading are smitten with baptism, and almost all the things dwindle down. And the sight of that, see, we've got to put it in its place. Doctors of the Scriptures, eternal salvation and grace, and by all the Scriptures of doctors of faith, baptism is one. The Lord said baptism, but they exalt it to the pinnacle. It's almost too high. Now, some of those churches that teach immersion in water, we said it before, Disciples of Christ and Church of Christ, that's not right, because baptism does not say baptism should be when. Before salvation or after salvation?
After salvation.
After salvation, in obedience to the Lord. Now,
that's if these people, see, it used to be the church state, church religion, and it all came through, you know, probably Catholic and Episcopal, that they would baptize babies, and that was the big thing, the baptism of babies. And some of these
Peter Baptist, as you say, Peter Baptist.
Some of these people would study the Bible to prove that you could baptize babies, and they couldn't find anything. And so they would become some missionaries that we read about and everything. Mm-hmm. They changed by reading the Scriptures.
Right.
That it was immersion, and it was when you were an adult, not when you're a child.
Not when you're a child, that's right.
That was a big thing.
Yes, it was.
It was a real frightening how they were persecuted.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that verse also, verse number 19, what are the singular name that they're to baptize people in?
The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, why is name singular if there's three persons?
The Trinity
is singular. Three in one, one in three. And now, does this teach that there's a Trinity, this verse?
Yes.
Do some people deny the Trinity?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, we had some people in our Bible studies on Thursday nights, you know, years ago when we had it, and they just believe in unity, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
The oneness doctrine. They say the Lord Jesus Christ is the one we have, and He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Spirit. See, crackpot heresy, and there are some oneness people. And there's others, of course, the Unitarian. What does the Unitarian believe?
They believe that Christ was a human being.
Just a human being, lost like everybody else. That's what the Gnostics teach and so on. And so this, clearly to me, is a proof test of the Trinity. I think 1 John 5, 6, and 7 is also 7 and 8. Is also proof. That's why they've taken out that verse. Many of these new versions have it out. But now, why is it the name singular again? Anna said it. She's right.
What are we talking about?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
One God, three distinct persons.
All right, so he's a unity in triune format. In other words, there's three persons, but there's only one God. And so in the name, singular name, but the Trinity is taught right here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, why is it Holy Ghost? What did the King James translators mean by ghost?
Spirit.
Just means spirit. That's right. In the 1611, that was a name that was used many times. Now, we have now the different meanings of a sort of apparition and sort of a spooky type thing. That's not the meaning in our King James translation. That's not the meaning in the Scripture. The word ghost, same as spirit, many times as Holy Ghost, many times as Holy Spirit, and baptizing. Then in verse number 20, what else have they to do after they've been saved and baptized by immersion?
Teaching them to observe all things.
Teaching them to observe. Is teaching
what all things
But what all things does he say here?
I don't know.
In verse 20, it names the all things. What are they?
Teaching all things.
That's what I have commanded you. All right, now, what things did the Lord Jesus command or teach in the New Testament? What things did the Lord Jesus teach and speak in the Old Testament?
All the things he taught and spoke, yeah.
Who was the originator of all the words in the New Testament, for example?
Jesus.
Remember what he said in John 16? I have yet, what, many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them now. How be it? And he, the Spirit of God, has come. He will teach you all things. He will not speak of himself, that is, from the, as the source. The Holy Spirit is not the source of anything, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will receive of mine and show it unto you. The Lord Jesus is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is merely the conduit to tell the writers. So all the New Testament, by the Lord Jesus, and by the same token, I believe the Old Testament, he is the Logos, he's the Word, and he gave the words to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them to the writers. And I believe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, not only in the past, the present, and in the future, the scriptures we have. Yes, Bill.
I have a quote from Lewis Berry Schaefer. For in the plan of salvation, God the Father is the source, Christ the channel, and the Spirit the agent.
Uh-huh, that's interesting. So these are things that we have. Now notice, all things. What does all mean?
Just what it says.
And some people said all means all. That's all that all means. But that's true. Now, do all pastors and preachers believe in looking into all things?
I don't know what people
do. If you've been in churches, you've
heard. Some of them seem to focus on just one thing.
Yes, and some of them seem to have stories, and you know. A lady called me today, and she's a Roman Catholic. She's been baptized as a Roman Catholic, and evil spirits were in her house, and she told me about it. So, and I said, she said, I was baptized as a baby. I said, well, that won't save. And I told her the gospel. I said, you've got to trust the Lord Jesus who died for you. But she called, and she was upset about these things. But she's got, I invited her to come to the church. She's 80. Five, I think she said.
She's 87.
I think she was 85, I think. Yeah, I'm 1 year older than she, I told her.
Okay.
86. Somebody else was 87. And she said, I go back, but I have a way to come. And she put down the address. I said, you've got to get into the scriptures and know the Word of God and be able to get the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So whether she comes or not, I don't know.
How'd she find you?
Here's how she found. She looked at all the different ads under churches in the phone book. And she saw the blind PhD, PhD with degrees. Boy, let's see what that man believes. And she called me on that basis. Did you call any of the others? Not yet. She called me and we discussed that. Yeah, Bill.
It seems that hauntings by ghosts or demons, Satan's demons are not really common, but frequent with Catholics, because
really?
They're not saved.
Right.
Right. Saved people, I don't know of even one who has ever been haunted by a demon. I'm certainly not afraid of them.
No.
I trust the Holy Spirit to protect
right.
me.
Exactly. So, but we're teaching all things. Now, I know if you go to some churches, we were in a church, several churches, for 5 years, 10 years, 11, 15 years, I don't know how long we've been in different churches around this area, and I do not remember they're methodically wanting to teach the scriptures, the Word of God. They just have a few verses, go from here, like verse people, which is fine.
Well, some pastors did.
Well, they didn't methodically go through many books, and so on. But anyway, be that as it may, the command of the Lord Jesus to his 11 is to teach them to, now what does observe mean?
Look over very carefully.
Adhere
and do what's taught.
Right.
And that's necessary.
Since there was no New Testament at this particular time, teaching in the world would be not only the scriptures that they had, but teaching about Jesus Christ as the Savior.
Yes, and that was part of the things that he taught to them, and they had to teach others. That's right, observe. Now, observe means to follow. My message this coming Sunday from the book of James. says in verse 22, chapter 120, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And observing means you do. A lot of people just listen, but they don't care about doing anything that the Lord commands them to do. But teaching them to observe. What's this whatsoever mean? Whatsoever.
Means what it says, whatsoever.
What does whatsoever mean?
Everything.
Means whatever.
Whatever I have commanded you.
So Jesus also said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yes, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's right, absolutely. So all things I have commanded. And then what's this promise concluded in verse 20?
Lo.
What else?
You always.
I am with you all. How can the Lord Jesus, who's going back up to heaven, be with them all?
Omniscient and omnipresent.
Omniscient, omnipresent. Oh, that's a promise. And this word, some doubted. I wonder if any of the ones that doubted believe that, see? They didn't believe what they saw. And but
he uses our every thought and
yes,
our every deed.
That's exactly right. And he's with us. Now, those of us who are saying the Lord again, can we claim this promise in Matthew?
Yes.
Yes, Lord, I'm with you always. He said in the earlier part of Matthew, where two or three are
gathered
in my name.
Together.
In my name. There, what am I in the midst of it? And so, with you all, the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm with you. That's a great promise. So as they go into all the world, preach and teach all nations, and disciple, make disciples, and baptize them, and to observe all that, he's right there with us. Everywhere we go. And he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And how long is he with these disciples?
Always.
Always. Unto the... And then unto the...
Even to the end of the world,
end
always.
The end of the world, always.
It says and, always.
Yeah, always. That means always. And even anywhere we go, see? The end of the world. Anywhere you go, see? Always as far as time, and the end of the world as far as place. We can't escape. He's going. He's there with us. It says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we realize the Holy Spirit is going to save born again Christians. But the Father, in the book of John, says, I will come to them, my Father will come to them. So that's also there. And then we quoted that Sunday morning. Is it 6:14 of Galatians? Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, I know a lot of people don't like the song Christ in me. It's all a different thing. But Christ is living in us. What is it?
I was finishing the verse.
Well, what are you finishing?
And the life that I now live, I live by
the Son of God, loved me and gave himself. Well, let's see what we got here. Hello? Yes,
well.
This is Jim, is it? Jim?
Jim, yes.
Jim?
I have a question. The word always is a different Greek word for always.
I believe it's the same one. I have to check on it, but I know it means continuously and so on. There are different ones, Jim. We appreciate that. We'll have to look that up to see, but I know someone asked that question in our Dean Bergenstein meeting to think that somebody preached on that subject. That's right. Two different
Dr.
words.
Brumblatt.
Dr. Brumblatt, that's right. And I don't know exactly the extent of it. One is always in time, the other is always in space, I guess, or release. But I'll look it up, James. What's your last name again?
Canada.
Oh, James Canada. Okay, Canada. Yes, Adam.
Canada.
Okay, Canada. Okay. I remember, James.
Yeah.
You just wrote me a letter, just an email just the other day, didn't you? Today, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll have to look that in.
Yeah, I was going to order, I was wondering, do you have a, like a Greek
interlinear
that has the English King James and then the
receptive
Greek on the
same book? Yes, we have that. Those have gone out of print, I'm sad to say. We have an interlinear. What's his name, honey? Remember his...
Jay Green?
Not Jay Green. Jay Green has got his new version. There's another one other than that, the one before Jay Green. We used to carry it all the time. That's been out of print. I wish it would be back in the press. Can't think of the name of that man that we used to use him all the time. That's very important to see the Greek words. You can't always, don't always translate the Greek words right, but it's helpful to see what the Greek word is, and you can look it up. Absolutely.
Yeah,
out of print, I would suggest you get a good edition of Strong's Concordance, Analytical Concordance, because every word in the back, it says what the Hebrew word is, what the Greek word is, and gives several meanings of that word. Do you have a Strong's Concordance?
Yes, I do.
They got a tiny one, but an exhaustive, the big fat one, every word is there. That's probably, until you can get an interlinear that's sound, that'd probably be the best one to get.
That's right.
We have one, the New International Version interlinear. We don't want that one. That gives the wrong Greek and the wrong English. That's right. Okay. Then, thank you for calling. We'll wait for you. What's your state again? What state are you in from? Okay, let's wait. It's Jim Canada. Well, go ahead, hold your
message.
Yeah, well, the red car, remember that, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to stop right here. Any other comments or questions? Next, yeah, Bill.
For this person that just called, he might check on the web, Baptist Inc., I believe it's INK. They carry tons and tons of books about the King James Bible. Many of the books that they have are out of print. But they managed to stockpile quite a bit there, and perhaps he can get that interlinear through them as well.
Yes, Jim, did you hear that? Baptist Inc., INK, or any of the used things like even Amazon.com. See if you can look them up, see if there's an interlinear. What is the name of that one that we used to have here? It's called...
Thayer's.
Not there. It's an interlinear.
It's not
Thayer's? No, that'd be Thayer's Lexicon, but this is an interlinear Greek. I do know this, Jim. We do have an entire fat one, all the way Hebrew and Greek, that's published. We do have that. Although the English is the English that's not the real King James, it's the King James by, what's the name of the man that's got that King James?
Jay Green.
Yeah, Jay Green. The Jay Green's. Sort of an updated King James, but at least that gives you the Hebrew and Greek words. That's one volume. I don't know what the cost is, $35 or $40. It's a big fat one. I think that's still in print. Jim, so give me a call. We'll see if we can work on that. Any other comments or questions before we close on Matthew 28? All right, Lord willing, we'll take up the book of Acts the next Thursday. We'll begin that, Acts chapter 1, and we'll go from there. Let's close in the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for Lord Jesus. We're sorry about these disciples who saw our Savior and yet doubted that he was raised, doubted that he was the Son of God, doubted that he was the Lord Jesus himself, all kinds of doubts. We ask the Lord that we may be obedient to his command to teach all nations and to teach and observe, not only teach but observe, whatsoever thou hast commanded through the Lord Jesus, through the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Help us as a church, guide us, continue to supply our needs, take care of us in all the needs of our life here on this earth, and may we be supplied by thee in thy hand. We thank thee for all these things thou hast given us. Take care of Dan and Tammy and the Tawako area, the meetings. Bring them back safely to us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
I wonder what exactly they got. They seem to be up on the mountain.